the covenant. We are forever awestruck at our triune God's design, foresight, creation, love, especially our creation, and their pre-planned rescue and restoration, and their love letter to us, to each one of us in the Holy Bible. Our triune God, they are everything. The subject is covenant, and the first of three poems is called The Covenant, written April 21, 2019, on the anniversary of anniversaries, Easter Sunday. About 7 years ago, 'twas in Genesis 15, I got a mighty message about Abraham's dream. Our God made a covenant with Abraham in his sight, including also all of us, our new God-given rights. An heifer, goat, and ram were party to the deal. God instructed Abraham, prepare them for the seal. The seal is such a history, it's overwhelming stuff. God and God made the deal without the slightest bluff. Most know of the Bible, some don't care what it says. Dismissed by the culture, it's rarely given praise. Now this may knock your socks off, but if you're already on bare feet, it's time to put your best socks on and prepare for this meaty treat. Some background will be helpful. Back thousands of years ago, when young kids prepare for marriage, it was dad's time for their show. A warning now is relevant if you hate all gory stuff. When it comes to covenants, you're not dealing here with fluff. The marriage vow is serious, much more so to the in-laws. The dads are the enforcers, insurance needed for this cause. Enter the Blood Path Covenant, the tool of their insurance, the pledge extraordinaire, an all relatives assurance. Just as Abraham was instructed, the dads also need an heifer. They then need to divide it one half against the other. What's that mean? Cut in half, a separation, let blood flow, in the middle, make a path, just for dads. This ain't no taradiddle. Are we also now prepared for this before marriage deal? Dad's ready, it's time to go, it's seal time, time to get real. Dads, both your shoes and socks off. The groom's dad is to go first, splashing through the path of blood with this pledge, or he'll be cursed. If my son dishonors you by dishonoring your daughter, I will do this to myself. In two halves, myself, I'll slaughter. Dad too is now up to bat, and no socks or shoes. Ready, go, walk through the blood. I think I'd rather check my inbox. No deal, we agreed to this, for our kids' future happiness, thinking ahead, our legacy, let's put aside all scrappiness. Dad too honorably walks through this enlightened path of pain, knowing how the future rests on this his matching bloodstain. If my daughter dishonors you by dishonoring your son, I will do this to myself, I'll sever myself undone. The heaviest of commitments, the bloodiest covenant, sealed that day so publicly in unbreakable loving grant. Returning now to Abraham, in obeying his triune God, with an heifer, goat, and ram, he was clearly overawed. Did he really understand about a blood path covenant? Was this the first ever set down, creating this big precedent? Do we only understand because we know the history? That raises a new question, whether you know of his story. Returning now to Abram's day, he clearly was overcome, having prepped for something big, a deep sleep, seemed humdrum. Methinks God had a hand in this, as great darkness fell about him, in which he learned from his God these promises for his offspring. We can debate those promises from a son and seed and land, but the key was the covenant, exclusively from God's hand. I spoke about a triune God. He reigns in highest station with unique perichoresis, about which I will now mention. The three-in-one relationship in a perfect communion, one for all and all for one, an infinite loving union. Wow, I love these words you write as I stay so close to you. And today of all special days, to be here and honoring you. And there's nothing redundant using the same word in a rhyme when you are the word I'm using as you're present all the time. Back after that joyful diversion, I do love these unexpected hugs. Let's get back to the covenant, never hide under dusty rugs. What Abraham saw was spectacular in the dark when the sun went down. Our triune God made his covenant a staggering, loving crown. The covenant was with Abraham. Note, Abraham, no participant, but in spectator sidelines, our ongoing recalcitrant. What on earth does all that mean? He was neither in nor out. He's an unworthy man, a covenant-breaking lout. So Abraham needs a substitute, a replacement for the deal, to clinch and make it watertight. Then we can apply the seal. Our God in triune majesty subs in for us, mankind's chump, following the smoking furnace with the triune's burning lamp. That spectacular as it is, God knew mankind would fail. So he boldly stood in our place, as only he is, he who will prevail. But a covenant's a covenant. What happens when all fail? And here's the thing that's awesome. Our God never meant to bail. So this really is the real deal, dreamt up by a loving God. He'll pay the price for all our sin. No wonder he should be awed. He after all, did design us in his image. We all are made. After his likeness, we are molded until we get this big upgrade. The upgrade is what he did to honor his covenant. He did all this to himself. He, the true government. He separated himself from himself so fully on the cross, in that bloody path so true, the Word honoring himself, then glorified for me and you. Turned out this was 42 verses, or 6 times 7, 6 sevens, saving us when we were all at sixes and sevens. And then 388 days later, I couldn't shake the immensity of this. And I wrote another poem called Our Restoration on May 13th, 2020. 5 years ago, or 60 months, the Blood Path Covenant gripped us. More than that, it overwhelmed and captured our imagination thus. That someone would covenant this way on my behalf is quite enough. But if I should miserably fail, their planned result way more than tough. Covenanting with another, yes, fair and square, both have heads up. But substituting for the other makes no sense to assume their cup. Like a surety, the other has no risk, and knowing that the other would fail, what would motivate such suicide? And we've not even touched on scale. Imagine also if there was a punishment, the other fail and the surety is jailed. Does that seem excessive fervor? In whose books would surety be hailed? In this case, surety is ridiculed widespreadly, the majority. Let us examine all this paradox and see the impact on my priority. We need to go back to middle times, arranged, betrothed, the bride and groom, and families needed comfort to protect, lest either side remove the bloom, and so devised a covenant of blood path nature as Abraham and Heifer, or two were cut in half, their blood a path, no epigram. Far from it, this swearing set up, groom's dad first and then bride's dad, and both implicitly declaring, I'll halve myself if my kid's bad. What on earth do you mean by that? Well, the dads pledge to each other, should their child prove dishonorable, we'll be parted just like the heifer. So each commit to the other dad before their children get married provides a strong assurance, family honor to be unsullied. So here's a wild and wacky thought. What if one dad trod the bloody path, barefooted on behalf of both, his hand and surety? Crazy math. Those odds no taker to be found. Why would he do that anyway? We'll now explore that crazy thought and rock your world without delay. It's why I thought I'd write a book, so spellbound by what I'd found. Our Separation was its title. Then I could share what's so profound. I mentioned Abraham earlier, the father of all the nations, his dream and what he did before that rocked me to my foundations. In Genesis 15, verse 9, Abraham, instructions apposite, take an heifer, goat, and a ram, divide, and lay halves opposite. So that ugliest scene was set, blood pooling a path in the middle, between the halves on either side. What a barbecue with no griddle. Oh no, mix not the millenniums. Our God had a plan for Abraham, but in a dream state he needed be no time for another epigram. Serious business was on the docket, planned in Genesis 1 and 1, focused the whole course of everything to undo the course of the undone. Covenant time for Abraham. This dream video behind his eyes, a smoking furnace first passed by, then a burning lamp, the surprise. They passed between the bloody halves in covenant-making procession. The implications will come to soon, but right now, what's your impression? God makes covenant with Abraham. Father God, the smoking furnace, but no Abraham participates, as the burning lamp took his place. The burning lamp is Jesus Christ. Second member of the Trinity, our God in loving substitution, immaculate divinity. From the foundation of the world, God's intention and plan didn't change. Give man a choice. No robots here. So pivotal was this exchange. Can man stick to his commitments, much less a covenant with his God? So his God stood in for mankind, guaranteeing the covenant shod. And yes, Abraham and his nations fell down often and repeatedly. Unholiness, all kinds of sin, iniquity, and deliberately cut off, rejected, and divorced, lost causes, disbarred forever, hell-bound in their own handbasket, driven by their own endeavor. But God made man in his own image, for fellowship with him forever. That's where the covenant comes in, to compensate for man's whatever. So a reconciliation long ago planned. If man failed to keep the covenant, righteous justice must be weighed according to the blood path provident. Remember the pledge in verse 10, where there's one dad's child's dishonor for failure to keep the covenant, the result a ghastly horror. So Jesus Christ kept God's faith intact despite the tight bond with his Father, and on the blood-shedding wooden cross they severed themselves from each other. And then, if you've any doubt at all that this was not pre-planned, on July the 7th, 55 days later, I wrote this in the beginning. I give credit to Daniel Duval, This may not be a poem, but it is more than poetic. And it was published on July 7th on the Red Threads Poets Facebook and Instagram pages on day 32 of the 40-day countdown to the launch day, August 8th, 2020, for this website. Genesis 1:1 starts with three words, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, in Hebrew, is a six-letter word. One word, six letters. And the letters are part of the Hebrew alphabet. And Hebrew letters have meanings, and often many meanings for each letter, whereas our alphabet is just the letter A. It doesn't have meanings behind them. And the Hebrew word is Bereshit. In the beginning, says all this, when taken from the rich meanings given to each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, contained in that six-word Bereshit. And if you look at those six letters and the words, the multiple words behind each letter, you get something along these lines, to quote Daniel Duval, the body of the highest, the ox, brackets referring to Jesus, close the brackets, was pierced with something sharp by the destroyer through the hand by which he, brackets, died and established, close the brackets, established the finished work on the cross. The body of the highest, the ox, was pierced with something sharp by the destroyer through the hand by which he established the finished work on the cross. All within the first six letters of the Hebrew, in the beginning. There's nothing to add to that. Those words are from Daniel Duval's Bride Ministers Institute, taken from Unlocking the Mystery of Prayer, Session 1, www.bridemovement.com. Bless you for listening to this.